was still very immature, was not a great player as he turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
When I was up there, he was he would jake out of the lineup, especially when we'd go into Los Angeles or Los Angeles would come to us. He didn't want to face Drysdale. You hardly ever saw him in the lineup against Don Drysdale, because Drysdale threw hard, threw sidearm, and was mean enough that he'd knock him down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd usually come up with back trouble when Drysdale was pitching. But I don't know. It's because of these things that I disagree with in baseball. The only time I ever watch baseball on television is the All-Star game and maybe the World Series. Once in a while, if I know that Pittsburgh's going to be on, I will watch them just because it's my former club.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, being my former club like that, I feel like I'm in limbo, and I'm sure many other former Pirates do also. When a couple of years ago they sold the club and they cleaned house up there, and even all the way down into the front office, the scouting system, all of this, there's not a former Pirate player or former Pirate organization man left in the front office.
The name's the same, and that's all.
Right. A couple of years ago, they started a Pirates alumni and sent us a card, you know, like a credit card type of thing, that that if we come to Pittsburgh or anything, all we got to do is show that card and we get into the ballpark free and this kind of thing. And yet, I'm 4 hours away from Atlanta. And over the years, I've always gone to Atlanta to see Pittsburgh play.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never paid for tickets down there because of the former players that I played with. There was either a coach or manager that I knew, and all I had to do was call them, and they would leave me tickets. And now they've gone to the White Sox organization and whoever, and brought in these other players to represent the Pittsburgh team. And Pirate players don't know these people, and neither do they know us.
Right.
And so if I were to go to Atlanta now, I'd have to pay for tickets, and I refuse to do that. If I'm going to give 12 years to the Pittsburgh organization, then I feel like I deserve.
Yeah, they can show you a ball game.
See them play
right.
Free of charge wherever I go. This might be something just in my own head, but that's the way I feel. And I really resent the Pittsburgh organization going the way they did. And just last week, I got a questionnaire from them, from this Pirates alumni thing. And I put this information in the questionnaire that I didn't like what they had done, and thought it was ludicrous. When you consider that the Pittsburgh organization has former players. You look all over the major leagues, and they're former Pirates as coaches and managers. And the reason is because the Pirate organization had good baseball people all through the organization, because Branch Rickey Sr. brought these people in there from the old Dodger organization and Cardinal organization. And when he came over to Pittsburgh back in about 1950, he brought all these good baseball people with him, and they were the ones that that managed or coached or scouted and this kind of thing for many years, and built the Pirates up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the organ or the people that I played for.
There's none left now, right?
And former Pirates played for, and yet now the Pittsburgh organization feels that that former Pirates are not good enough to represent that organization, and so I really resent this type of thing that that this new management has brought in, and so although I pulled for the Pirates, there's nobody on that team that I know or ever heard of, including the managers and coaches and everything else.
Do you maintain contacts with some of the people you knew when you played?
Bill Mazeroski was my roommate the 2 years up there. They put us together because we were the youngest on the team, and Bill got married, and then I got married while I was up there, and so our wives were close, just as Bill and I were, after a few years of being away from the Pirates, and it didn't look like I was going to be going back up there or anything, we stopped corresponding, and so no, I haven't seen Bill or heard from him in the 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Because my son's out there in Newport Beach, California. Last October, when I went out to visit him, we did have a reunion with four other players that live in that immediate area that I had not seen in 25 to 28 years. Don Rowe, a left-handed pitcher, Buddy Pritchard, an infielder. And Bob Bailey and Dick Gray. All of us played together either at Pittsburgh or Columbus in Salt Lake City, Utah, all in the Pirate organization. And we hadn't seen each other in all that time, but we got together out there and watched at least one game of the World Series together and had supper together. So that was a good reunion there.
Who were the best players that you played with?
Played with?
Yeah.
Well, certainly Mazeroski, his defensive ability.
Do you think he belongs in the Hall of Fame?
Do I think he belongs?
Yeah. A lot of movement for him. A lot of people talk about it. He never quite gets enough votes.
I believe so. If nothing else, even with his bat and winning the World Series in 1960 with that big blow,
mm-hmm.
That blow plus his defensive ability and watching him for 2 years like that, there was hardly a game that he played that he was making plays that nobody else did.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
I'd like to see him make it.
Yeah.
Who else? How about Grote? Was he could hit? Was he much of a shortstop?
No.
That's what I heard.
Grote was certainly not quick on his feet. He was able to play the defensively pretty well. But he would never backhand a ball. And his seemed like his reason for this was the fact that if he backhanded it and made an error, then that hurt him. So if he couldn't get in front of it, it went on through.
That's a lot of base runners.
Right. Another thing about growth that I noticed, and here again is why I say I was a nobody, was the fact that Matt Zarowski and I would maybe be sitting in a hotel restaurant eating breakfast something, and growth and maybe some of the other players would come down and come by our table, and Groat was the type that would speak to Maz, but it was just like I wasn't there.
Now, there's no excuse, but that's just bad manners. That didn't make you nobody just because somebody has bad manners.
That type of thing. I never did Les Biederman for one of the newspapers there in Pittsburgh really played him up as the next manager of the Pirates, this kind of thing, and talking about how much baseball he knew and all of this, and I was never able to see this because I didn't think Groat showed real good baseball knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the one that and he was the captain of our team. Quotation mark. And being the shortstop, he wouldn't come over and tell the pitcher what to do with the ball if it came back to him, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally Don Hoke, the third baseman, that would let us know what to do. I never did see Groat as being even a good shortstop. Much less a great one.
What about your pitchers? You had Bob Friend and Vern Law and a couple other guys face that had pretty big names.
Well, Law and Friend had good years while I was up there. Normally not the same year. Friend had a good year in 58. Law came along in 59. Faith in 1958, I believe it was, or 59, I'm not sure which, was 19-1.
Yeah, that was. I think that was 58. Yeah, that was some kind of year.
It was the same year that Friend had he was expected to have a great year, and he got off to something like 0-6 or 7 or something like that. And he wasn't pitching all that badly. It was just the fact that that he had have a bad pitch that would hurt him. And we just weren't scoring runs for him. Or he would have a lead late in the game, and Face would come in and give up the big hit that would either tie or put us behind, and then we'd come in the bottom of the inning and win the game. And so it was that type of year for Faith and that type of year for Friends. One thing that I know hurt me, here I was 23 years old and had never been a relief pitcher before, I went up to the majors the first 5 years playing in the minors as a starting pitcher and had never been a reliever, and yet as soon as I got to Pittsburgh they put me in the bullpen, never gave me any instructions as to how to be a reliever, and there were definite definite things that you had to change in being a relief pitcher. from being a starter. I mean, you didn't have the time to warm up, and a lot of times you'd warm up a number of times, this kind of thing. And this was something that I felt that our pitching coach Bill Burwell should have done was to help somebody along the way in learning this type of thing, and yet it was something I had to learn on my own.
You started two or three games, didn't you?
I started two games.
Yeah. You started one against San Francisco because I was there. I think you went five innings.
Well, I started against Philadelphia on my birthday in 1958, and then started against the Giants.
Yeah. Maybe six innings.
Yeah.
I remember I went there with a friend for that reason, because you were listed as a probable starter in the paper.
Yeah. The thing that hurt me being a reliever was the fact that early in the season in 1958, Face had trouble getting guys out. He got off to a very slow start, and really up until the middle or late May, they more or less made me the short reliever because Face was not performing up to par. And even, I was pitching a lot.
As I remember, even with all his wins, his ERA was not particularly impressive.
Right. But as soon as Face came around, then this put me back to where I was a long reliever. In other words, I would go in anytime during the first five innings of a game.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself sitting in the bullpen for 2 weeks at a time, at least twice. I sat there for 2 weeks, not getting in a ball game.
Hard to stay sharp, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And I begged Danny Murtaugh to let me throw some batting practice. And he said, no, we can't do that. We're liable to need you tonight. And so I kept sitting. And then all of a sudden they put you in a ball game, and although my control was not to where I was walking people, I mean, my arm was so strong, here I was a sinker ball pitcher, and a sinker ball pitcher is most effective when his arm is tired.
Mm-hmm.
I had to, being a sinker ball pitcher, you have to pitch down low around the knees or they'd kill you. My arm too strong, then I was throwing strikes down the middle of the plate and getting them up.
Yeah, because
my ball wasn't tailing. The sinker ball was not sinking very well or anything because my arm was too strong. So this was making me less effective and all. So that really hurt me, the fact that I was sitting around way too much and didn't realize this at the time. I knew it at the time, but when I look back on it, I know that that those weeks that I sat around doing nothing really hurt me. And I know one game later in the season, we were playing a doubleheader there at Pittsburgh, and now these were two nine-inning games, and I was told to get up and warm up, I think 12 times.
Wow.
In that doubleheader, I didn't know any better or anything, and. So I'd warm up and get hot just in case, and then sit down, and the next inning get up again. Why, good night. I was more tired than the starter during that ball game. And uh, uh, I don't I don't remember whether I ever got in the game or not, or either game, but it's just that type of thing, not knowing and not having a pitching coach that was out there in the bullpen with us that gave me some instruction as to how to do this. I mean, get up and throw a few pitches and then lob, this type of thing. He never did say anything to me on this, and where I felt like he should have,
well, back then,
looking back at the situation, there could have been a number of different things done that could have prolonged my career, maybe, or effectiveness.
Back then, were many young pitchers developed for relief pitchers, or were they all just the relievers were starters that couldn't crack the rotation?
Back then, it was about the time that, it was later, later in my career, that you were a starter all through the minors, and then it was the young pitchers more or less put in the bullpen rather than developed through the minors and all.
You know, kids today, from the day they sign, they're made a reliever.
Right.
Who are the best players you played against? Anybody stand out? I mean, of course, the guys like Musial, of course.
Definitely. Well, Hank Aaron was the first player, first hitter I faced in the major leagues.
That's a good way to start. What'd you do to him?
Well, his opening day, 1958, in Milwaukee County Stadium, Milwaukee, and I think I remember down to the last patron, 44,344 fans in the stands.
That's impressive.
And I came in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the score was tied, and he topped a grounder between short and third, and Groat went over and fielded it straight in front of him, and was never able to make a throw. So he beat it out for a single.
Infield hit, yeah.
And so I faced nine more players the next three innings, and no one else got on base.
So, oh, very good.
So I got the victory that day. Actually, just before the game, Milwaukee had raised the World Championship flag out there in center field for beating the Yankees the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Burdette and Spahn having such a great World Series. And so we beat them 3-2 in Milwaukee, and I got the win. So that was opening day 1958.
Helped settle the butterflies a little bit, didn't it?
I'll tell you, that day when I walked out to the dugout just before the game started, Murtaugh called out these names to go to the bullpen, and so he called out my name, and I mean, he hadn't said that you're a reliever or anything like that, and I went on out to the bullpen, and I was thinking all along that they need the room on the bench, so they're getting all of us out to the bullpen so they'll have more room, and so he used Elroy Face out in the bullpen in relief. Let's see. Bob Friend started for us, and Warren Spahn started for Milwaukee, and it went on to about the seventh inning. And we used Face in relief of Friend. And so when it came time for Face to bat, then they batted for faith, and Murtaugh called out there on the telephone and said to have Blackburn and R.G. Smith, a left-hander, warm up.
I remember him. He played for the Seals.
Yeah, and so here again, I was out thinking Murtaugh, and I was thinking to myself while I was warming up beside of R.G. Smith, well, he's got me warming up just to kind of give R.G. A little company here. Surely he's not going to use me on opening day here in Milwaukee. So the end of the inning, and the game was tied, and he called out there again and said, send Blackie in. And boy, that was quite a an eye-opener there. That startled me. And there at Milwaukee County Stadium, they had a guy dressed as a chauffeur, black uniform and all, little black hat, and a motorcycle with a sidecar. And so good night, I get in that sidecar, and that thing flies across the outfield, and he pulls up on the mound, and I step out, and in front of 44,000 some fans, there's more people than I had ever seen in my life. The thing I was able to do is concentrate on me and the catcher so much that I was able to block out every sound in that stadium. And I remember that to this day, how well I did that. I through total concentration on Hank Falls, our catcher. Falls was an outstanding catcher that really helped me a great deal up there because he knew the hitters well. He worked me very well and helped me a great deal. But it was through that concentration that I just forgot about anybody else in the stadium and just played catch with Falls as a catcher.
You could swing about a little bit, if I remember right.
Well, through high school in American Legion Baseball, I played outfield when I wasn't pitching, and my dad always, when I'd come in after a ball game, my dad would talk with me about what I was doing wrong as a hitter, not what I was doing wrong as a pitcher. And so so this always I felt comfortable swinging the bat, and yeah, I like to hit, and did pretty well actually in Class C baseball, playing at Phoenix, Arizona in 1955. We even had a playing manager. And yet he used me as a substitute batter for someone, a pinch hitter, rather than himself. And I batted .310 that year.
Wow.
Had my most outstanding year as a pitcher. I was 18-6.
It's a good year anyway.
Go out there until June the 10th. So between June the 10th and 16-6. Between June the 10th and Labor Day, I won 16 and lost 6, and pitched right at, I think, 199 innings. So actually, I was starting every fourth day and relieving in between.
Wow.
And pinch hitting. That was a real enjoyable year for me.
Any regrets from your career?
No, I don't think there are any regrets. The fact that I didn't think, well, I knew I didn't have overpowering stuff. I was mainly a control type of pitcher that actually the scouts never flooded my home when I graduated from high school. I even had to attend a Pittsburgh tryout camp to sign about a month after I graduated from high school because no scout came to my house trying to sign me. I feel like I accomplished more than I was supposed to have. In other words, getting to the major leagues, even getting to the major leagues for a year and two thirds was more than I could have bargained for or thought was possible.
It's a whole lot more than most of them ever do.
Well, that's true. And back at that time, with just 16 major league teams, rather than 25, I believe now.
26.
Then there were the competition was much greater because of so many minor league teams.
Yeah.
More boys were signing contracts for professional ball back then. And so you had that much more competition just to get a tryout with the major league team. Where nowadays there are many fewer minor league teams, and